Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome along to the Sunday Rub, a massive 2.5 hour preview leading up to the big game between the Collingwood Footy Club and the West Coast Eagles. Guests galore in the next 2 or so hours. Christian Petrarca, the big man from the Melbourne Football Club, nice win for them. Taylor Adams, he will speak to us pre-game from the Collingwood Footy Club. Dean Cox and the West Coast Eagles, and another victory for the Sydney Swans. Their coach, John Longmire, will join us. Roosie storyline, we're talking a succession plan, so looking forward to that as well. A lot to get through, and I look around the box, and normally the boys come in here with a pep in their step. Swatter's here with a funny-looking beanie on. Duck's here looking sharp as ever. Jay-Z is here, but my man Roosie, Jay-Z, who normally comes in with a big smile on his face, and he's all peace and love, and what's happening, brother, and hanging out of the combi, et cetera, et cetera. He had his nose in the Herald Sun today, and the article was entitled, Roos can pull his head in, and our man just a little bit off track this morning, Jay-Z. And well, good morning and afternoon to you all.
He's the Zen Master, Roosie. Everyone loves him, the Sydney Premiership coach. Every bone in his body, a good one. But it seems that GWS CEO Dave Matthews, fair to say, Paul, not that happy with you and what he says to be constant criticism of the Giants. He says that you hate the club.
Hate.
That there's a bit of a personal vendetta there because you've always been opposed to GWS. And that you need to pull your head in. Now, my friend, have you got a personal vendetta against the Giants? Because I see you're a lover, not a fighter. What's the story?
Look, probably the most disappointing thing is when people attack your credibility. I take this job seriously. I mean, I'm now a media commentator. I'm not a coach of the Sydney Swans. I worked for the academy when Dave Matthews was the CEO of the AFL. Then I coached Melbourne Footy Club. I'm actually a media commentator now. And that's an insulting article. That's insulting for Dave Matthews to infer that I can't do my job because I've got this ridiculous vendetta against...
A bias.
I mean, you guys have worked with me now for... Yeah, I think sometimes we're too positive at times and sometimes we're too negative at times. And that's just, I guess, the reality of what we try and do. Yep. Duck, you've been doing it longer than me, but that's just the reality because we don't often have an enormous amount of time to weigh up everything that happens in a game of football. But I've been super positive early on about the Giants. I did their game against Sydney, I think round 3 or 4. I thought it was one of the best games. I was talking in isolation of their game last week as commentator for Fox. And it was at that game, it was a Sydney game style against the Giants' talent. Yep. I like Leon Cameron. I think he's a very good coach. And unlike a lot of people, if they win the premiership, I fully understand. Doesn't matter whether you've got the most talented team. You have to get a game style. You have to pull a team together. And you have to be able to coach. Leon Cameron can coach. And if they win it, clearly they're going to have talent. But every premiership team's got talent. If they win it, Leon Cameron will have done a very good job. And they will fully have deserved to win it. Forget all the draft picks and everything. So I think it's immature for Dave Matthews, but it's not surprising to me, given that I know the type of person that he is.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I worked with him when he was as the CEO of the AFL, and clearly, you know, as a Swans coach, there was situations where the Giants. But if you read the article, I'm happy for David King to say the same thing as Paul Roos did. I'm happy for Bomber Thompson to say the same thing that Paul Roos did. I'm just acting like a 12-year-old, really.
So yeah. The criticism was about the way they played last week in their style.
One game.
And their game
one
plan.
Game.
It had nothing to do with your time at the Sydney Swans. It had nothing to do with Leon Cameron. But somehow your observations, and I would agree that there are other commentators at other stations and networks that would support because they said similar things, but somehow your criticism based on the 120 minutes of the way the Giants played in one game against the Sydney yep. Swans, dots were joined all around that. And the focus of what you actually had to say, which I agree with, by the way they played, was taken off field and other things got brought into the conversation.
Yeah, and we've done a lot of Giants games this year. And I think if you rewind some of the comments I've said about the Giants, both on league teams, when I've done league teams for Fox, when we've done the game, I've been really positive. I've been positive about the way they play. I've been positive the fact that they've actually been able to cover injuries all year and they've had a very difficult year. In isolation, last week, I was disappointed in the way they played. And it was Sydney's game style that created goals. and it was Giants talent that created goals. And that's purely and simply what it said.
And he's inferred that this has gone back to when GWS was introduced to the AFL, because you, like the Sydney Swans Football Club, were opposed to the move from the get-go. Is that right? Did you think the AFL should have done other things with that money?
But that's irrelevant. That's my point. At the time when the Giants came in, I was coaching the Swans. So my role at the time was the Sydney Swans. Then I was trying to create an academy for the Sydney Swans. So clearly there was things that, as the club, we disagreed with. But now I have no alliance.
Couldn't care.
No, I had no alliance to, you know, I went and watched Melbourne play yesterday, and I clearly, and maybe we're a little bit biased to the teams. Melbourne, maybe I'm a little bit positive towards Melbourne at times, but that's just human nature when you want to see a team do well. But in terms of the Giants and the Swans, I mean, really, I think the Giants have done a fantastic job, and I think Leon Cameron fully deserves a contract extension, and I still think they're very much in the mix for the premiership if they can get a few things right.
Is it going to be awkward when you talk to Dave next, or you shoot him a text, tell him to shove it up his jumper or call him?
Look, I don't have a lot of time for him, to be honest. So, you know, there's people that you get on well with in footy, and there's people you don't get on well with. I don't really, you know, I don't get on well with him. I don't rate him that highly, and he clearly doesn't rate me, so it's fine.
Like us and Schwatter sometimes. Kidding, Wayne.
Gee, and it didn't really go over that joke to Schwatter, because he was a real deadpan looking Schwatter. Well, Roosie, you're a bit knocked off your axis, so you just sit in the corner for a moment.
I'm just going
to
meditate.
Do a little bit of meditation. And then we'll get a bit of smiling
mind,
Roosie.
Smiling mind, brother. Exactly. Jay-Z, let's go to an early break. Got to fix something.
No, we don't need a break just yet. What we do need to talk about is the Saints-Sydney game. We're just talking about the GWS. Two sides to this story. Sydney just continue along on their merry way. A tough night for the Saints and a tough night for one of their veterans who's a good friend of us here at Triple M Footy, Joe Montagna.
Yeah, he's hurt his hamstring, and it could be a 3 to 4 weeker for the veteran. What is he, 33 years old now? So at his age, they don't really heal that quickly. Look, we hope that he gets back and plays again in the home and away season, if not for the finals for St Kilda, or those hopes are jeopardised at the moment. For me, it's a big elephant in the room for St Kilda at the moment. It's a bit awkward. It's a bit uncomfortable. What is St Kilda going to do with Lee Montagna and Nick Riewoldt? Duck, if you had to make the call, what would you be thinking?
I actually wrote about it on Friday, Jay. Disappointed you didn't read it.
No, I just wanted to go over it.
No, I look, to be honest, and in that article, it's the toughest thing that you have to do. And I think the way Luke Hodge, who's clearly come to that decision, but the way Hawthorn's handled it, and I think despite the likes of Jimmy Bartel, I reckon the Cats have done it so well and you know, retire some of their champions. And some of those champions have gone to other clubs and still playing good footy. Kelly at Essendon, Stevie J still doing his thing at GWS. But Chapman and Jimmy Bartel, there was a little bit of, you know, they thought they had a little bit more to give. Clearly the Cats are going in a certain direction. And you'd have to argue that the decision they made on those guys has been the right one, because they're sitting second on the ladder. Yep. Oh, they're not at the moment, but they're sitting in the top four. Mm. So they've been able to move on their champions, albeit, you know, may be a bit upset. But my understanding is, you know, Jimmy and them were a little bit upset about it, but now they're getting over it. And there was always that dialogue. I'm leaning towards Rui probably. This is just my opinion from watching him live a few times this year. I reckon he's dropped off probably 20%. So does he want to go on? Do they think that, you know, his leadership, or is it holding them back? Is it holding the younger leaders back from developing at that footy club? They're all the questions they have to ask themselves. And the longer this goes, I feel that the decision will be made for him. And I thought in his statement during the week, I thought that was quite profound when he said, well, if that's it, that's it. And I thought that was to the point. So I think he's starting to get his head around that it may be the end. I'm leaning towards probably that.
And Joey?
Joey, I honestly thought before the hammy, I honestly thought Joey would probably go on another year. That's just a personal opinion in the way. And I guess not dissimilar. You can't get rid of all of your, you know, lead, you know, your sort of main guys at the one time. So I was sort of leaning towards Rui maybe not, and Joey maybe staying for one more. That's just my personal opinion.
Here is the St Kilda coach, Alan Richardson, speaking about Joey Montagna post-game last night.
He's done his hammy, but so we'll just have to wait and see after scans to the extent of that. But clearly he couldn't come back on the ground. You know, he wasn't going to be able to contribute at all, so he sat it out.
Are you hopeful that he will play again?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, yeah. It's they're always a tricky one. You just got to wait and you know and get all the evidence and do the scans and yeah, you know he's been in pretty good shape for us, so we'll just have to wait.
It's the hardest thing in footy, isn't it, trying to retire gracefully your legends? We saw it with Boomer Harvey last year. You go all the way back to Michael Tuck in 86, whatever. He's won seven grand finals, a legend of the club he wants to play on. It's just a real tricky one to get right. Hodgie obviously had a chat with the club and thought, well, my time's done here. So everyone says Hawthorn handled it wonderfully well. Well, they did, but the player was in agreement. When the player's not in agreement, Roosie, that's when it gets a little bit tricky.
Yeah, look, I think Duck touched on. There's so many different factors, and it's not like a player has a use-by date on the back of his jumper. Like, no one really knows exactly when a player finishes. So there's a lot of different factors. I mean, I sometimes probably differ a little bit from other people. I think with Nick Reward, and again, not forgetting, because sometimes we can analyse a player within a 5 or 10 week period. It's really hard when we're just looking from afar.
Yeah.
I think someone like Nick Reward should have a big say in whether he plays again.
Because now, he's a champion?
Because of what he's done for that football club. Now, clearly, if he's not producing at all, then that's a different debate. But my view on that is that he should have a really, really big say in it. Now, that's not to say Alan Richardson doesn't sit him down and say, look, okay, Rui, you want to play on? Yes, I do. What happens if things go pear-shaped? You have that conversation with them. So you must cover all your bases in that conversation. And I'm not suggesting Rui makes the decision solely, but if he's got enough credits in the bank for me to be able to sit down and say, yes, I want to play again, and at least start that discussion.
Tom Brady, interesting, and this is obviously a much bigger sport in terms of world. Tom Brady's father spoke recently, and he said it's only going to end ugly between Tom and the Patriots.
Yep.
He said because Tom will believe that he can play until he's 70, and they'll have to tell him, you're done. So it is going to end up ugly for Tom Brady, and his own father said that.
And some players can be like that, Duck. You're right. Some players, you sort of think, you know it's going to be hard work. You know it's going to be, well, this guy's completely cooked. I don't see that with Nick Reward. I mean, two weeks ago against Richmond, played a really good role. I see enough with Nick Reward when he's healthy. I think the knees affected him. The bone bruising has affected him enough. I see enough with him that if he was prepared to play maybe 12 to 15 games, I see enough for him to go on. But I don't know a lot of the other stuff that go in terms of leadership. Paddy McCartan, where's he at? What's their forward line look like? All those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think as a club, Roosie, you hope that players make the call themselves. That takes an enormous amount of pressure out of the situation, like Hodgie has done with the Hawks. But I do think part of this is, I agree, I think Nick, if he does choose to go on, and Joe for that matter, somewhere between 12 and 15 games. But then there's another question as the player. The player needs to come to terms. I've been a star in Nick Riewoldt's case. I have been the main banana.
Yep.
Do I have the humility to accept the fact that I'm not going to be the main man? I'm going to have to just lower my expectations. This is what the club needs. If I can do that and embrace that, it'll work. But we're all ego-driven. I don't care what anyone says. The successful players have healthy egos, and you need to have healthy egos. Whether that ego can be just modified slightly to embrace the new role, then it can work out.
And I think that's why you have to go through it. You have to go through a situation with Nick or whoever the player is. Nick, if you're not playing well, how do you feel about playing seconds? You have to have that conversation. Otherwise, you're going in and it's fraught with danger. So you've got to go through all the different realities of what it might look like next year.
Really enjoyed watching Melbourne yesterday. They had a nice win, 23 points. But I even more enjoyed the fact that Trengove was back. Hasn't played a game all year. Used to captain the club. A wonderful young man. And his coach, Simon Goodwin, spoke about him. About Jack post-game last night.
I rang Jack Tuesday night to let him know that he was playing. And that was probably one of the phone calls as a coach you really enjoy. You know, he's worked incredibly hard. You know, he's had 2 years of not playing footy. And he's just such a quality person that we all love at the footy club. And when you make a call like that, you can hear the emotion coming back through the other end of the phone strong.
Really nice to hear those honest and open words from the coach, Roosie. And it was I kept an eye out for him yesterday because, as the coach said, he's had a tough time. So, and he did pretty well out there yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he was very good. Particularly start of the game, I thought he started really, really well. And look, he's an unbelievably popular guy. Guys that go through injuries like that never complain. you know, the soul of the footy club, stood down as captain, I think, in my first year, really wanted to concentrate on his craft. He's just an outstanding human being, and it was so exciting. I went there live on my day off to watch the D's yesterday, so I took my son and a couple of his mates and my nephew, and it was great. You could even sense the fans. There was a real lift when he got the ball in the first time, and I think the first time he got interchanged off, he got almost a standing ovation. So he's a much-loved player, and he played particularly well, I thought. It was a good effort.
And his sister can run too, Jess. Just a wonderful marathon runner that's represented our country. Now, we'll speak all that and more with Christian Petrarca, who is on the line now from the Demons after the 23-point win yesterday. G'day, Christian. Thanks for joining us on the Sunday Rub.
Thanks for having me, guys. How are we going?
Yeah, great to have you on, big fella. You would have just heard us speaking about Jack Trengove. From the outside looking at it, was fantastic. I imagine it was a nice feeling in the rooms pre- and post-game, the result, but due to the fact that he was playing as well, would have given the boys an extra bit of a lift.
Oh, it was unbelievable. He's worked incredibly hard. Obviously, started in the VFL majority of the year, and you know, to finally crack a game, and he knows what he had to work on, and it's just so good. Someone like him who probably hasn't had a game to finally crack into the team, it's unreal. And it just, as Ruzzi said, it gives the boys a lift. And you know, he's such a loved character around the football club. He's unreal to be a part of.
Track, I thought it was a fantastic game. It was a really fascinating game for, I guess, a number of reasons, particularly how far Melbourne have come. I mean, dominated contested possession, dominated clearances early, and just, I think what was on show yesterday is the number of guys now that can go through that midfield area.
Yeah, well that was our biggest focus going to the game. We were pretty disappointed and flat about the game against Adelaide up in Darwin with our contested possession and, I guess, numbers to the ball and wanting to outnumbering and we knew the Port Adelaide's midfield, especially Ollie Wines and Robbie Gray and Burrick and Eber, guys like that. You know, we really had good speed to the contest and we wanted to try and minimise that as possible and trying to get as much numbers to the ball. And I felt like the first two quarters was unbelievable and then they started to get on top of us. But the fourth quarter to bounce back and steady the ship a bit was awesome.
Yeah, and I think I'm following up from that track. I thought it was great because they did start to get on top, but the maturity's now starting to show. Jordan Lewis behind the ball in the last quarter, seven defenders, the ability to control the contest with Hibbard, a senior player coming in, Melchum kicking a critical goal, and Jordan Lewis. So the ability to go to transition, I guess, from plan A, which is contested ball, clearances, winning the territory battle, to suddenly saying, no, we're running out of a little bit of steam. They're up and about. And the ability then to slow the game down in the last quarter, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We had to slow the ball down. Well, I think we felt like we're moving it too quickly. And, you know, we want to switch and take the game on, but we were kicking across goal, but it wasn't really open. So you know, they were forcing us back and back and back, and then eventually they'd get on top of us. So, you know, Goody kept reiterating to us at three-quarter time just to keep moving the ball forward and keep gaining territory. And I felt like the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter, it was a real momentum shift, and we started to get tackle after tackle and stoppage after stoppage, and that's the way we want to play, is a long contest and in our half.
Track, I've been trying to sell Nev Jetta as an All-Australian player for about 12 months now. So, again, he was unbelievable yesterday. Can you help me sell him?
He shouldn't be selling him. He deserves it. He's 100% an All-Australian. Yeah. I'll be pretty upset if he didn't make it, to be honest. And someone like that, you don't need... He could have one possession in a game and he'd still be best on ground. He's so disciplined and loyal to the club, and you know, the way he goes about his footy off the field and on the field is just amazing. And you want guys like that, you know, around the footy club.
Christian, congratulations on your third season. I think you've been excellent this year and having a real impact on games. Now, something caught my eye early in the year. Did a great feature article with Sammy Edmund, and within it, you said that you wanted to be a future AFL Hall of Famer. Now, I love that because it was, you know, there's a bit of confidence, there's a bit of cheek there, but it goes to your desire to make the most of your career, clearly. Can you just talk about that comment and what you meant by that?
Well, I'm pretty, probably as you can tell, I'm a pretty confident kid, and I love setting, you know, high ambitions. And I guess the reason why I play football is to get the most out of myself. And I'm sure I can speak on behalf of a lot of AFL players that you want to be the best you can be. And probably looking back into my time now, I probably would rather say I'd rather be an AFL. I'd rather be a premiership player. I was probably a bit selfish in saying that, but. Yeah, look, it's something that I set really high, and I want to be the best player I can be, I guess. So, yeah.
Speaking to Christian Petrarca from the Melbourne Football Club.
What about Jesse Hogan yesterday, Christian? I think this was his third game back. He was up and about early, kicking some snags. How important is he? I mean, finals are just around the corner, potentially. How is his confidence? How's his mood? How important is he to you guys, you know, over the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season?
Yeah, he's very important to us. And he felt like he was starting to click yesterday, especially. He had I think three of his goals were from aerial contests and not necessarily marking, but bringing the ball to ground. And that's all we want as forwards, I guess, is just to bring the ball to ground and make a contest for, you know, guys like Jeffy Garlett and Mitch Hannon and Alex Neil-Bullen who can rove off that. And yeah, he's someone that's so inspirational to us. He probably doesn't think it, but, you know, personally, I think he's what he's been through this year in the last 24 months has been so inspirational. And, you know, people got to realise that, you know, 12 weeks out of footy, it's quite tough to come back in and just think that you're going to dominate. You really got to start from scratch again and work your way up. And I felt like he's slowly progressing to be the player he was.
Now, Christian, I know you probably sense this already, but Melbourne fans are excited, mate, because it's been 10 long years since they've been in the finals, obviously. How good are you guys? Do you think if you got into the top eight that you could seriously challenge the best sides?
Don't fall for it, track. Don't forget Goodies listening.
I'll just take we'll just take it game by game, I reckon, week by week.
But you've shown clearly.
No doubt. We're very excited, obviously. Ruzi would understand. Young kids, we get a bit ahead of ourselves, and that's probably what you saw in the start of the year when we reversed Adelaide up in Adelaide, and you know, we had a good win, and we probably got a bit ahead of ourselves, and then you know, thought you know, it'd just come easy to us, and that if we had the same preparation as the week before stuff, it would just happen again. But and then we lost to North Melbourne, so I think the back end of the season has really helped us in terms of you know, each week you got to prepare the exact same way, mentally, physically. You got to do everything you can to get up, and yeah, look, obviously, as you said, we're very excited finals if it is there, but we got to take it week by week, and this week we got North Melbourne, and we'll review the game, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Track, when you hurt yourself playing basketball, mate, can you just reenact what Ruzi said to you when you had that first telephone conversation? He's sitting next to us now with a smile on his face, but how did that first little chat go?
I didn't actually speak to him on the phone. I did it 2 days or 3 days before I got back to day one of pre-season, and I reckon the second day in, he sat me down. He didn't actually abuse me or yell at me. He just... One of those dad talks.
It was just such a fatherly chat track, wasn't
very,
it? Just a fatherly chat.
Very disappointed. It was almost worse than the actual raving, I reckon. It gets
track on that. I'm going to ask you a basketball question. Who's going to be a better player, Dante Exum or Ben Simmons?
Oh. Good question.
Don't shirk the question. I know you're better than both of them, but
I think Ben will be, but.
Oh, but.
But Dante has come off an ACL, and his summer league this year was unbelievable. So, look, it'd be interesting to see.
Have you got some big baller shoes? You'd be a big baller, man, wouldn't you?
No,
man.
Hey? That's not me. I'm Nike.
We're speaking to Christian Petrarca from the Melbourne Footy Club. Before we let you go, Christian, I always like to know what people are up into Instagram, and I've had a bit of a look at your Instagram account. There's a picture of you there wearing a dressing gown saying, I love #cryo. What's cryo and what were you doing in that dressing gown?
That hashtag is not there, I know for a fact.
Okay, I might have added a bit of juice.
No, that's cryotherapy. You go into a chamber and it's minus 120 degrees, I reckon. So it's basically just recovery. It's like an ice bath. You actually don't get wet. It's just more of like a steam.
Minus 120?
I don't know how that works. But everyone's doing it.
3 minutes
works, isn't it? But it works. So.
A lot of guys are doing it. You are romantic on Instagram, though, Track, aren't you? Nice little romantic dinner last night again.
I saw that too.
Very nice.
That's your area.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. Good on you. That's probably around the corner.
Come down.
Hey?
Rock Salt was just there. Salem cracked it at me because I didn't go.
and a couple of people you follow on Instagram that had the blue tick that I wasn't aware of. What is Generic DJ? What's he do?
He's a DJ.
Okay. What type of stuff does he bring to the table?
Pardon?
What type of stuff does he bring to the table?
He produces some great music. He's He's a second act for Calvin Harris on every session he does. So.
And what about Dakan Jesus? Have I got his name right? What's he do?
Who?
Dakan Jesus. Looks like some video comedian style situation.
Just a couple of memes on Facebook these days. Okay. But yeah.
And just to let you go, when you come out at minus 150 from the cryo, what's the shrinkage like?
Significant.
No comment.
All right. Christian, we appreciate your time, mate. Best of luck to you and the Demons for us. What a wonderful young man, full of personality, Roosie.
Oh, he's a terrific kid. Really, really nice kid. And as you said, he's really honest, and he's just one of those kids that you love around the footy club. Yeah. Sometimes he gets a little distracted, Track, as you can probably sense from his interview, but the players love him. He's a genuinely good kid. Great family. Comes from a fantastic family, and it's good to see him doing well.
How did the interview first up, Roosie? Like, back in the draft, because, you know, there was a debate, McCartan versus Petraka. Like, how did you first assess that sort of energy and enthusiasm?
Yeah, look, I suppose because I've been around coaching a long time, you see all types of kids. And I think what he said before is the thing that stands out with Track is he wants to be a really good player, you know, and he mentioned the Hall of Fame. I think he was a little bit embarrassed about that. You know, he was probably a bit upset that it was actually displayed the way it was, because he is very much a team player. Great. One of the stories, a young kid came up from Tassie who I organised through Brett Stevens, and they're big charity game they have down there. I don't know whether Swatty, you've been down there.
Relive the rivalry, I think.
It played down there, and the kid came up, and I introduced him to some players, which was great. Next thing I know, Track's wheeling him through the office. I thought, oh, geez. Took him into lunch, sat him there, and Track actually flew him over for Track's first game.
Wow.
So he's just a really generous, really generous guy, really good kid.
Duck, you've seen the incident that we were discussing with Toby Green. You've now seen the replay. What happened? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I love Toby Green, and he's playing a ripping game. But jumper punch to Rance, definite week.
All right. It is that time of the day, Swatter, where I get a lift, because it's my favourite segment. It is called...
Gather round, boys and girls. It's story time with Roosie.
Roosie, the succession plan, it always gets a mention when Collingwood aren't going so well, obviously, with Malthouse and Buckley. You're the man, pretty much, that came up with this idea, is the way I understand it. How did you first broach it at Sydney, that you were trying to get someone there that would take over from you when you're done? Because I would imagine at times it could be a difficult thing to handle if the personalities weren't on the same page.
Yeah, look, it probably stemmed back from when I first signed as coach. It was interesting. And these guys, Swatter and Duck, can probably weigh in. For some reason, when I was playing, I always thought around 7 or 8 years for the one coach was a fair amount of time. Now, depending on how much success, so clearly when I took the job at Sydney, I didn't really think I was going to last 7 or 8 years. But as we won the premiership and as it rolled along, I always held myself true to that. And it was once it sort of got to that level, you know, I feel like the players, the same voice, et cetera, et cetera. And then it was probably more happened from my personal circumstances, wanting to move on. John Longmire was being interviewed for a couple of jobs at the time, and I didn't want to let the club down by coming out a month afterwards and saying to Andrew Ireland or Richard Collis, look, I'm going to give it away at the end of next year. So I spoke to Tammy and said, look, this is my thoughts. She obviously fully supportive. And then I went to Andrew and said, look, I'm going to give it away at the end of next year. And then they gave the opportunity for John, who, as I said, was being interviewed for, I think, the North Melbourne job.
St Kilda.
So then they appointed John as my successor. And John and I had worked together he'd been there under Rocket as well. So we had a fantastic relationship. And it was probably a little bit different at Sydney. At Sydney, you know, there was no real worry from my point of view. Gee, what if it changed at the end of the year? What if John Longmire does something different? To a certain degree, it needed to change. It needed to be a bit different, because I'd been there for 8.5 years, and given the original thoughts that I had about that period. So I continued pretty much in the role. We gave John some different roles as well, meeting with the board. Yeah, I said to him at the time, look, you really need to get some really strong relationships with your leadership group. Yeah, think about who might be next year, coaches, all that sort of stuff. Don't get distracted, but you really need to start thinking about next year. Sort of fast forward, I guess, to when I spoke to Peter Jackson about Melbourne, and because it worked so well at Sydney, and I also believe, look, it's very, very difficult now for an assistant coach to become a senior coach, because the step up is so dramatic, and I was very much aware of all the changes at the Melbourne Footy Club and what they'd been through. And eventually, when Peter and I agreed, you know, I was very strong on the succession plan, because I'd seen it work, and I wanted to give the Melbourne players some continuity and to say, look, you will know who will be coaching this footy team. and to a certain degree, the game plan is not going to change at all. So we appointed Goody. Goody, I didn't really know Goody. It was funny. We went to Todd Viney's house, myself, Josh Marnie. And the way we really did it was when Melbourne was talk to people behind the scenes, interview some people, bring some people in. You know, we spoke to Goody.
Was Goody your first choice?
Well, we'd been through a process over a period of time, and there was no need to really rush it. And we'd done a batch of interviews, and the end of my, I think at the start of my first year, actually.
Was Lingy in that mix? Was
Lingy and I spoke. We spoke at Noisette, which is a little coffee place. And Lingy was fantastic.
In Port Melbourne,
yeah. Lingy didn't really know whether he wanted to be a senior coach, and it was great. I have a lot of respect for Lingy because he sort of... He needed to decide between media, and he hadn't really made the decision. So Goody was sort of halfway through, I think, the first year. We just met informally, and immediately, I'd known Goody before, walked in, spoke to him, and immediately when I walked out, I was really impressed because the thing that I felt with Goody, he spoke a lot about behaviours. He'd been involved with Craigie, and I'd got a lot of time for Craigie, just around the behaviours and the leading teams model, and he talked a lot about culture. It wasn't a lot about X's and O's and game plan and all that sort of stuff. And I was really impressed. Josh Marnie was impressed. Todd Viney was impressed. Probably the most prickly time was when Adelaide got rid of Sando, and I was at a function, and no one can get hold of Goody because Goody and Roo are best mates, and we'd already agreed to come to terms with Goody, and Josh was ringing me. I was ringing Josh saying, what's going on? And Goody happened to be out at a school play, I think, at the time, and his phone was off. So he was fantastic. So probably the biggest difference between John and Swatter was that us, John and looking at Swatter, John and Goody was that we needed to make sure things were continuous at Melbourne. So we didn't really want them to change. We didn't want the players to get faced with a situation, well, geez, Simon Goodwin's out. Roosie's been doing this for 3 years. Geez, hang on, what's going on? So Goody had an enormous amount of input in the last year, which was his second year at Melbourne. First year is very much an assistant coach. Second year had an enormous amount with game plan, meetings, all those sorts of things. And, yeah, it's been a fantastic transition. And yeah, we thought and knew and hoped that he was going to be a terrific coach.
Roosie, just before we go to Taylor Adams, who's getting lined up with Robbo on the boundary at the moment, the boys are pointing out before and Swatter pointed out, elite people have egos.
Yep.
That's just, you need an ego to get where you are. How was it for you when people are starting to say during the time that now Paul Roos is the coach but Simon Goodwin's taken over? There's people giving this opinion from outside the club that Goodwin's making the move. They're looking good because Goodwin's done this. How did you feel when that was happening?
I didn't really worry because I'd been through it before and very much, and Goody was very much match day while I was coaching. You know, that was my role. My role during the week was around leadership and the culture and relationships with leaders, players, medical staff, etc., etc. And Goody and I spoke about the game plan and I agreed with everything that we were, yeah, we built it from contest and defense, we moved on to offense, and then our last year we were able to coach all three of them, you know. So yeah, we were very much on the same page around everything that was being done, and yeah, what we're seeing now is an extension of what Simon liked and what he brought into the footy club over 2 years, and it's just fantastic to see.
So if Melbourne win the flag this year, are you claiming credit?
No doubt. I'll be in Hawaii, but I'll... but look, I love the club. I went there yesterday on my off day. Look, I love the club, I love the people, and I love what they're doing.
Nicely done.
We've got to come back after we've spoken to Taylor Adams. Got a couple of questions about the succession plan.
Spot on. Taylor Adams is down on the boundary with Mickey Roberts. Good afternoon to both you gentlemen.
Thanks, Howie, and it's great to be able to speak to a player who's just about to go out in the green stuff. And Taylor, yep. I've got, 17 contested ball, 9 clearances, 7 inside 50, and helped snap the... a four-game losing streak last week, so you're in good form, but today's a real test.
Yeah, obviously last week was promising for us. Four games prior to that were disappointing, and to go up there and get the job done against Gold Coast, who were pretty good on their home deck, was a great result for our footy club, and we're looking to do the same today.
You got a lift, though, the midfield, especially with Pendles out with that broken finger surgery during the week, a pin, and could be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, obviously we'll miss Pendles today. We've brought in Rupert Wills, who plays a similar type of role, big-bodied midfielder who loves the crash and bash. And you know, he's done his time in the VFL, and he's you know, we're really excited to have him in the team today. So hopefully he can fill the void that Pendles leaves.
Taylor, I think Bucks has been terrific, yeah, all season. What I liked early in the week was the fact that he's really given you a sharp focus. I think he talked about we want to really get something out of the last 6 weeks. And he talked about your defence, really wanting to shore up that defence. Is that something he's just reinforced, I guess, before the game today? And how do you think that'll manifest as we're watching the game today?
Yeah, obviously, post the bye, our ability to stop teams from scoring hasn't been as good as it was early on in the season. So we've certainly shifted our attention to our defence. And I think it comes off the back of contest. Heard you talking before, Rizzi, contest and defence sort of go hand in hand. So, you know, we'll look today to be have a strong presence in both of those areas. I think it goes a long way to helping you win the game of footy.
Hey, the start's important, Taylor. West Coast are a better team at home historically over a long journey. So where's the focus? Where do you think you need to be very good to begin with to get an advantage over them?
Yeah, obviously they're a proven side over in Subi, and fortunately for us, we're on our home deck today. I think that they still play a great brand of footy. Their back line especially, they rebound really well off there. Obviously, they're probably the best defensive marking team in the competition. Their midfield's really strong, so... For us, it's going to be creating a contest up forward, and as I said before, around our contest and defence all over the ground.
I think, Taylor, too, it's been, to be fair to Bucks, it's been pretty hard to sort of assess you guys. You've had so many injuries, but I guess hopefully, touch wood for you, that the last 6 weeks you've got your best team. Tell us how important Jamie Elliott, Travis Varko and Daniel Wells are to your footy team.
Yeah, obviously we've missed those guys for big chunks of this year. Billy, first of all, just... He's that sort of medium-sized forward, but plays a lot taller than he actually is. Creates a presence in the air, but also his pressure on the ground is really valuable for us at the footy club. And then you speak of Travie and Wellesley, similar players, both great with ball in hand, but just create, I guess, that aura of leadership out on the field. And both played in successful teams and played in finals teams. And we're a much better team when they're both out there. Travie just gives us that real bounce off half-back, and he's really strong over the footy, whereas Wellesley, ball in hand, he's as good as anyone in the comp.
Tay, this is as serious as I've ever heard you, mate. I'm looking at you now. You all right, son? You seem a bit tense. You okay?
Yeah, I'm in game mode.
Mate, I got a personal message from Mark Robinson for you.
Hey, what do you got?
He told you to get... No, he told you just to get stuff, that's all. No, just kidding. He gave him a little clip on the footy show the other night, mate. Ben Reid, is he starting forward or back today?
Now we'll see Reedy play a similar role to what he did last week down forward. Just creates a really good contest for us. Reedy's obviously a strong man, and very rarely gets beaten one-on-one. So we'll see him down forward. We're pretty happy with the way our back line looks with Goldie, Dunny and Howie playing those key post roles and being a real presence in the air.
Hey, Taylor, Chris Mayne is a player that the club got in, long-term contract, big money, playing in the VFL as we speak. What's his demeanour been like through a really challenging year this year? Because I think most people outside of the footy club and internally would have expected him to have played a lot more footy. So how's he going about his business during the week, given the fact he's not playing at the elite level?
Yeah, it's a tough one for Manny. Obviously, he expects to be playing senior footy, and we all expected him to be playing senior footy when we got him throughout the trade period. But he's been fantastic, a great leader for a lot of younger guys coming through and playing VFL footy. But even for us senior players at the footy club, his work ethic and professionalism around the footy club during the week has been second to none. And we still hope that he plays a vital part in our season this year, and we can see him back playing senior footy as we all want him to be.
Taylor, we must thank you and Collingwood for having a chat with us. Not many clubs, if any other clubs, do it on game day, so we appreciate
Kangaroos.
That. The Kangaroos. And okay, all right. Well, not many is the Kangaroos and Collingwood. That's not many, and we appreciate Taylor's time. Just before we let you go, mate, you're about to go in, as you said, the game mode and the final meeting, etc. Who's the one player you avoid down in the rooms pre-game?
I sort of just chuck my headphones on, Howie, and sort of... steer clear of most people. I think I'm probably one that. Yeah, I think most people try to probably avoid me down there. So, I certainly get into my own little zone and switch off and focus on what I need to get done.
And what are you listening to in the headphones?
Pretty relaxed music. I don't really get too amped up before the game. I certainly don't need to do that. At the moment, I'm pretty jealous about the Splendour in the Grass happening up in Byron Bay and not being able to be there. But I was listening to Vance Joy's set yesterday, and he had a live set on, and that was fantastic. So I might whack some of his music.
What about a bit of Rose Tattoo or ACDC or something?
Roosie, the kid's 25, not 65.
No, I'm just trying to educate
him. Probably hasn't heard of Rose Tattoo.
You heard of Rose Tattoo?
No, I haven't heard of Rose Tattoo,
Roosie. Appreciate your time, Tyler. You go and have a great game. And again, thanks for speaking to us pre-game. We really do appreciate
Rose
it.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, boys.
Angry Anderson. Hey. Angry Anderson, yeah. Bad you, boy for love.
Yeah, what type of car were you rolling in your heyday?
The Batmobile. I had a HR Holden.
HR, and what were you playing on the way to the game?
A bit of Rose Tattoo, right. Bit of ACDC, bit big of, ACDC.
Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, crikey. Roosie, he's 174.
Cause we can't be beat.
Oh, brother. Hey, look at it, he's in the HQ. He's got the mullet flying out the back. He's got Matty Rendell in the passenger seat. He's got Mickey Conlon in the back seat. Bring back the days.
Bad Boy for Love's the only song I know word for word, and I've sung it at a couple of gigs.
Oh, come on, Roosie. How's it go? Come on, Roosie.
30 days in the county jail.
Keep going. Near map images round the ground. Didn't expect that on a Sunday.
It's a bit of a low-scoring slog at the MCG. GWS Giants, 22 points to 10 up by 2 goals halfway through that second quarter, as we said before. Toby Green, the plucky GWS forward midfielder, in some trouble for a jumper punch on Alex Rance. He might be looking at it another game off, I reckon, Howie.
All right, we'll get to the quiz shortly. Nicely done, Jay-Z. But we were speaking with Roosie about succession plans and what he implemented at Sydney and Melbourne in relation to what's occurred at Collingwood. And your little antenna went up, Wayne Schwoss.
It did. Roosie, have you ever seen yourself as a career coach?
No, I didn't really. I mean, to be honest, you never know how long you're going to last because it's such a volatile position. But when I took over at Sydney, I thought, you know, hopefully I could stay there for a while and deliver a reasonable amount of success. And then I generally thought I was done once I finished at Sydney. But obviously circumstances changed. I took the Melbourne one. So, yeah, I didn't ever see myself coaching for 10, 15, 20
years.
So
did that help you with your decision to start to orchestrate, speak to the club about potentially anointing horse as the next person to succeed you? Because as a general observation, senior coaches are control freaks. And I'm of the view, from the outside looking in, your relaxed nature allows you to feel comfortable with giving horse the opportunity to get himself ready to take over when you eventually walk
in. Yeah, I think clearly a succession plan for it to work properly, the senior coach has to embrace it and to want it. And most coaches want to be there for as long as they possibly can. So it is very, very difficult. Probably the surprising thing is that some of the more senior coaches that I think haven't perhaps been given an opportunity, I'm surprised that a Mark Williams hasn't been approached by a younger club to say, look, would you take over for a year or two? I'm surprised that maybe Neil Craig hasn't. So I think some of the guys that perhaps, I don't know, I don't want to speak for Craig or Choco, but some of those guys that I've rated reasonably highly, now again, they would want to have to do it. Mm. They would want to have to say, yes, look, we'd like you to come in. We'd like you to take over for 2 years. And here's the guy we think could be the next coach. So there are one or two that I always looked at and I thought, well, gee, why wouldn't you approach those two guys about whether they'd be interested in doing it? Because it is a big step up for an assistant coach to a senior coach, particularly now.
What was Horse's initial response when you eventually sat him down and said, listen, this is what I'm thinking about doing?
Well, we felt Horse was the right person to do it, but I more did it because he was being interviewed, and I remember going around to Andrew Ireland's place. I said, look, this is what I'm going to do. And he said, you sure? I said, yeah, look, you know, I think, you know, if Horse is the right person, I want to give you the opportunity to make sure. So there's a little bit of a misconception that I appointed Horse. I didn't appoint him. Clearly, I thought he was the right person for the job, and I wanted to give the club the opportunity to give him the role. And that's why I went around to Andrew, spoke to Andrew Ireland and said, look, I'm doing it now to give you guys the opportunity to put Horse in. And they clearly also saw him as the best person for it.
You've said it twice in the last 20 minutes. There's a big gap between a senior assistant coach and a senior coach. What's the gap? What are the big differences that you go from senior assistant to you? You've moved on. Horse steps into the main office. What plays out?
Yeah, so specifically, I mean, assistant coaches are unbelievably important. Let me get that clear for the start. They're the ones that... But an assistant coach goes from being a midfield or defence or whatever, so a certain aspect of the game, and probably, depending on the club, about 10 direct players that they're working with. And then really honing in on the stoppages and honing in on mentoring those players. Suddenly you're going from that role to 44 players, five, six, seven coaches, medical staff, fitness staff, membership, sponsorship, you know,
board,
all those sorts of things. So, yeah, when you have a succession plan, John Longmire, Simon Gooden went to board meetings. As I said, both of them were encouraged to build relationships with their leaders, build good relationships with medical fitness staff, understand the media, give them media opportunities. So you're actually expanding their role in those areas that you really don't get the opportunity to do as much of.
Why wouldn't you do it again, Rosie?
Oh, look, it's just, it's consuming, you know, like it's part. People think, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I suppose people think because perhaps you're good at it, you should do it again. I mean, it's not as simple as just someone wanting you to do it and saying, yeah, I'm going to do it. You've got to be, probably the most disappointing thing, Jay-Z, when I first started was a couple of articles when people said, oh, Paul says us and them and all that. You've got to be fully committed when you walk in. And I was fully committed to Melbourne. Love the players, love the club. And they're the articles you're disappointed about because you can't be at a footy club and not be wholly and solely
immersed. Your heart's got to be in it.
Your heart's got to be in it.
Which it was.
Which it was, yeah. Absolutely. From day one at Melbourne, my heart was in it. It's just not in it now to go back to a footy club and to do it. And if it's not in it, you shouldn't do it.
So you're completely comfortable with the fact you will never coach a senior AFL club again?
Absolutely, yep.
Much prefers hanging out with us here.
Hey, you got a pad in Hawaii, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. What about we have an off-season trip with you and Tammy over there?
Oh,
you
know,
we've got to
get closer together.
We can have a conference.
We could do.
Two-day conference.
Now Duck's showing a little bit interest.
Is he still here? Hey?
That's tax deductible.
It is. And hello to the tax man out there. Robbo is down on the boundary, I believe, with a legend of the game. Stoked to have this man on, Robbo.
Dean Cox. Big Dean Cox. Good to have you, big fella. A couple from me. The first one is Sammy Mitchell. Travelled over. And now we're seeing Adam Simpson's just in front of us. Very relaxed. But he's going to be in the box today, Mitch.
Yeah, he is. Obviously, he's getting managed and being 34 or turning 35 isn't that easy on the body. So, yeah, decided to bring him over. I think everyone knows that coaching is the path that he wants to go down. I was fortunate enough in my last couple of years to, when I wasn't playing, to spend some time in the box and just understand the dynamic and add your input when it's needed. And, yeah, he'll do that today.
Now, you're going to have a chat to the umpires. Go out into the middle. There's new surface out there, Coxie. This is your domain. So, yesterday, there was irregular bounce. One was about 6 foot, some was 16 feet, whatever. So you had a word to the umpires?
No, I haven't had a word to them, but, you know, making sure that we tell our mids and our rucks that it will bounce differently from each umpire as well. So we'll have a look at them in the warm-up and work out which ones are lower and which ones are higher, and hopefully they can go from there.
Hey, Coxie, before we get on to today's game, Big Nick Nat, I've followed him a little bit on social media, been training overseas. Is he back, and where is he in his recovery?
Yeah, he's getting closer to obviously getting back to training with us. But, you know, for him it was about, I think the American trip was booked for a period, then had to get put off for a little bit. So he's been over there going through a rigorous training program, and he's not back for a few more days. So hopefully he can tick off that box, and when he gets back, start getting the footies out and see how it progresses from there.
Is that the, Cox, is that the one in Philadelphia?
So the one in Philly
is
gone to.
The one tracked in Philadelphia. Yeah.
So we had Eric McKenzie and Mitch Brown and that go to him a couple of years ago when they did their knees and puts them through a number of different exercises and tests them out in certain ways. So obviously with Nick and the calibre and where the standing has at our footy club, we want to send him there as soon as possible.
Coxie Howie here. I looked at those same videos that Duck did, and he was sort of leaping over tall buildings and all stuff. Is this the type of stuff you used to do?
Yeah. Nah, nothing like that. So we'd have to jump over a bar stool or do something like that. That was about it. But times have changed, and I suppose with the person he is, he's got to get over there, gets to watch a few baseball games and mix with a few people as well. And but when he's back, we've got to get him back into business.
Cox, is he any chance for finals to play?
Hopefully. You know, but the longer it does take, obviously, the slower the chance, or the less the chance. So a lot of things have to go right to get him back.
Hey, Coxie, no, I don't want this to sound like it's giving you an out here, but I just want you to explain to the sort of Victorian-based listeners and people that aren't in WA, what are some of the challenges that on a weekly basis and across the course of a season that your team in particular faces coming to the eastern side of Australia every second week to play and compete at the elite level?
Yeah, I suppose it's something that, you know, our footy club's dealt with all the way through since their inception. But, you know, when we're doing it 10 times, hopefully you get a routine that can put you in a good stead to get the players' mindset right and perform the way they do. And, you know, I suppose when you're a good team, you know, we're fortunate enough to be a part of a good team that you're probably winning, you know, 5 of your 10 games in a state. And, you know, if you look at the record all the way around the world, the away teams generally, if they have a record like that, it's going pretty well. And, you know, for us, we want to make sure that we can play consistently. But yesterday we try and do as much as we can in Perth before we get on a plane Friday afternoon. And yesterday we have a light session at the sea bars, and then the players get the afternoon to do whatever they need to do, because in Perth we don't see them, so we try and make it as similar to there as we possibly can.
Hey, Coxie, Jack Darling, how have you seen his year? And clearly enjoyed a little bit of the freedom up there while Kennedy was out. And has he got another level to go to? He's a fantastic athlete, been a little bit inconsistent. How have you seen his year?
It's probably been a little bit inconsistent, as you mentioned. I think the thing with Jack is that when JK's in there, he spends a lot of time in the forward half, and Jack does a lot of work up the ground. And, you know, for him, it's about trying to make sure that he can get up the ground. Aerobically, he covers it really well. So if he can get up and provide real strong contests on the wing and then use his work rate to get back inside 50, well, that's when he's really damaging. And, you know, I suppose when JK was out for a period, he had a couple of lean games, but then performed really well the past couple of weeks. So we want improvement from him to come, because more avenues you have to go, the harder you are to be predictable, and that's what we need.
In your opinion, though, I mean, I only see him from afar, you know, every now and then live, and obviously, you know, highlights during the week. Has he got the ability to be an All-Australian? Has he got the ability to be an Australian?
Yeah, I think he does. You know, I think when you got a player who comes into the system and, you know, can kick 40, 50-plus goals each year, you know, for him, it's about trying to make sure that he can consistently produce that. And probably in his first couple of years, his defensive pressure was phenomenal. You know, so if he can get back to doing that, it gives him more opportunities to have an impact when the ball's inside the forward 50, other than to lead up and to take marks. So, you know, that's something we'll always challenge Jack at, because, you know, I suppose the defensive side really helps his attacking side.
Couldn't be more stoked to be speaking to West Coast legend and Eagles assistant Dean Cox.
Coxie, the biggest thing, I guess, playing Collingwood, what's the thing we really should be looking at today from a West Coast Eagles point of view that you're really trying to take away from the Pies?
Oh, I suppose one thing that they try and do is that when they get a turnover in the middle of the ground, they go really quick by hand. And, you know, when they've got the like of Treloar and Adams and the Wells now in, that they can really generate some quick ball movement from them. Well, I suppose one thing that they have done from their back half is they've probably slowed down their ball movement a little bit and tried to use some uncontested marks to try and get through some team defences. So we've got to make sure that we can, first of all, try and slow them down and then force them to kick long to a contest, which, you know, hopefully we can get it done around that contest. But I suppose, like any game, you've got to try and get it done around the ball and get the field position, and that's what we rely on.
Hey, Coxie, Elliot Yeo notches up 100 games, 72 with the club. He's been a terrific pickup, versatile player since coming back home.
Yeah, he has. He's you know, he's a player that probably played a half back at Brisbane, and, you know, when he got to us, he's been versatile probably each year. He's spent time forward, and now he's spending a bit more time in the midfield and rotating back, and, you know, he's been really consistent for us all year. And we missed him last week when we played Freo, and great to have him back and him to celebrate his 100th, and hopefully there's a 100 or 200 more.
That's it, Dean. We appreciate your time. Best of luck to you on the West Coast Eagles today.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. Thanks,
Dean Cox from the West Coast Eagles Footy Club. Jay-Z, near map aerial imagery around the ground.
It's the Tigers up by 7 points with a minute left in the second quarter. Dusty Martin, second favourite for the Brownlow medal, has a goal and 14 disposals to his name, including 12 kicks. So Dusty looking at more votes, Duck.
Is Coxie a Hall of Famer yet?
Yeah.
He is.
I'm not sure he is.
I don't think he's in yet.
He has to be. He has to be a Hall of Famer.
He was unbelievable ruckman.
Best ruckman of his time.
Yep. Outstanding.
I tell you what, the Kangaroos are like a ruckman of his expertise at the moment.
Yeah, Majak, I thought the commentary of Majak's role yesterday in the game against Eston was a little bit harsh, to be honest, Howie. I thought, you know, Majak is what he is. You know, he might be sort of a 3 out of 10 or 4 out of 10 player at the moment, and sort of battled against Bell Chambers, who's been in very good form in that ruck position. The frustration is, Roosey, I mean, for a guy who's just so big, and we saw Brad Scott get very frustrated with him on the phone yesterday. For a guy who's so muscly, you know, he, whether it's a technical thing or a footy IQ thing or whatever it is, he does sort of get pushed out and out-positioned in the contest. And that's the sort of the the frustrating thing, I imagine, because he hasn't been able to go to that next level as a player. But I do think, all things considered, he was okay yesterday. The club not happy with a headline that sort of described him as a dismal door yesterday.
So just for those, I didn't actually see the game, so obviously everyone's seen the video of Scotty going nuts. Yep. So just for those listeners that perhaps didn't see the game, yep, what specifically was Scotty critical of?
Yeah, it was holding holding his ground, yep, holding his body. So yep, he thought it was him getting pushed off the contest, yep, too easily. His ruck work in the middle of the ground, Swatter, was very, very good. Mm. He got, you know, he gave them first use times, you know, dropped a couple of, and I watched specifically at quarter time and three quarter time, and Alex Ashenko and others were going up to him, and you could, the body language of the big Russian was plant, you know, don't get pushed off the ball. He was sort of, you know, put your arm in, be stronger in the contest. So it was
out of 10, Duck, how would you rate
based around
game?
That? Well, I think that's what people have focused on, but I think all the other stuff, he was okay. I mean, that's the thing about, I guess, you know, not growing up from
nuances,
a younger age.
The
footy IQ, not knowing how to use your body the right way, you know, all of those things. He's still learning those things. So, look, for people, I haven't read the paper today, but for people to say dismal door, I think that's very harsh.
Duck, I recall we did a game on a Sunday, it would have been a couple of years ago now, and he actually played a really good game, and you were really measured at the end, and you pointed out the fact that it was nothing personal, but you didn't think that he would play 50 games of football, magic door. I'm sure you remember the comments at the time. It was nothing spiteful. It was just your opinion on how he was playing. I think he's up to 30 games now. You reckon he'll get to 50 or not?
Well, he's been in the system for a long time to get
to
30.
Contracted until 2019, I think.
That's right. You know what he needs, and this is the thing. I mean, they've got Proust there, big Goldie's out of form. He needs to play the rest of the year in the ruck. But unfortunately, Goldie and Proust, when he's not injured, Swatter, are clearly ahead of him. So he doesn't get that chance, and to be a forward, he struggles at times when he's just a forward. People lock down him. He gets pushed under the ball. And so he's got to run around in the ruck. Now, if he's not going to get that opportunity and there's another club out there that thinks they can give him that opportunity, then he'd be better off leaving the club.
And I think you look at Mike Pike. Mike Pike predominantly came in as a ruckman.
Yeah.
Played as a ruckman.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. It's very difficult to learn the game as a forward. Yeah. So I
it's
agree.
The toughest position on the ground, arguably, the centre-half forward.
Exactly.
Or forward.
Well, you're relying on what Mike Pike did. He was able to develop his craft really quickly around the contest. So then it gave him confidence to eventually go forward, take a few marks. I think at one stage he was the best contested mark in the competition, Mike Pike. But that was about 5 years after into his
confidence
career.
Confidence comes from continuity, though.
I actually, watching the game yesterday and seeing that vision, I felt sorry for him. I did.
What was that? The magic door?
It's just how I felt. I felt
getting
sorry
a hard
for
time
him
for the coach.
Yeah, and it was fairly public in the way it was done, and you know, and then
don't see it much, Duck.
No,
you
don't. I just did. I just felt sorry for him, and I could see in his, you know, I could see in his face that it, you know, it hurt him, and clearly, you know, Brad Scott knows him way better than I do, so Brad knows what he can and can't say to Majak. Majak may be a guy that needs that or wants that, but to me, I did. That's how I felt yesterday when I was watching him.
I tell you what, if he doesn't go on and play 300 games, he can just enter Mr. Olympia whenever he wishes, Roosie, and he'll get the chocolates.
You know, he's so
incredible.
He's carved the granite.
His fitness is obviously an issue. He doesn't have massive endurance. I think North try and limit the weights he does throughout the season. In fact, I'm not sure he's allowed to do any weights because they don't want him to get any bigger.
He looks massive at the moment. Yeah. And we spoke to Jack Zeeble yesterday on the Saturday Rub, and He said that's exactly right. He can't go in the gym because he just looks at weights and puts
it's
muscles
a problem.
On muscles.
It's a problem, Swatter.
Gym's overrated.
It's a real problem when they try and wind you up. Quickly, Todd Goldstein.
Well, now the question is really, I mean, he played in the VFL, was it yesterday? Really, it's where is this guy at? And I wonder whether it's a, I'm not sure.
I'll tell you where he's at.
What?
He's like most players that play the game either currently or in the past. He's in a form slump.
Yep.
Blokes go through it. The challenge is, can Tony work his way back to All-Australian form?
Yeah, I mean, he's got some personal issues happening in the background, some family circumstances. I wonder whether he might be better off at another club, say Hawthorn, maybe could do with his services. I don't think he's going to go interstate.
How long's his contract
I think he's out next year. I mean, he's on decent coin, so North potentially. You know, there's going to be a negotiation there. Let's listen to Brad Scott and what he had to say about Toddy Goldstein yesterday.
He's got an opportunity tomorrow to reassert himself as a dominant ruckman in the competition. He's been plodding along a little bit, Goldie. He hasn't been as bad as a lot of people probably make out he's been, but he certainly hasn't been at the level that we want him to be and that he wants to be. So, you know, we'll support him and keep coaching him, but... You know, I really felt that, you know, the match committee have made decisions, but ultimately I really felt that we needed to be a bit more decisive with the move there because we persisted and supported him for a long time. And sometimes when you exhaust all options, you need to send them back to the VFL to see if you can get a response. So, you know, I'm confident the calibre and the character of Goldie that we will, but that largely will be up to him.
And he did say that he has a chance to come back in. So clearly the match committee got a big decision this week. Duck, I don't want to put you on the spot.
But you're going to.
But I sort of will. What if North said, right? Because I don't reckon Majak's a very aggressive player. It's just not his makeup. Right, so that's why he maybe gets shoved a little bit out of the way in footy. If they said, can you come down and give him a hand? Would you? And have they ever had that conversation with you? I mean, you're the greatest centre forward to play. I know it seems an obvious one.
I've helped a number of guys in at different teams at different times when they've come to ask me. Majak actually did reach out to me a couple of years ago. And to be honest, it was right when North weren't decided whether he was going to, you know, they were going to re-sign him or not. So I guess I felt, you know, was it worth it? Now, if I knew that he was going to be there for the next, you know, year or two and Majak came to me, I'd be more than happy to help.
Not sure there'd be much room in front of the mirrors if Duck got down there with Majak.
He's one bloke I wouldn't take his head off in front of.
If you're not aggressive,
yep.
You can't train someone to be overly aggressive.
He's a lovely guy, Majak. Yeah. Lovely guy.
You mentioned form slumps and every player goes through them.
Yeah.
The Sunday Rub team at the moment, anyone you think's in a form slump?
Yeah, I do, and I'm not comfortable saying it, but he's a premiership coach. He's a superstar. Cool. He's a Hall of Famer. Ruzzi has just been sat on his backside because of what Dave Matthews had to say in today's paper.
what
a little lift.
What was the headline again?
I just bloody mind your own business and piss off, Ruzzi.
I need the quiz.
Ruz can pull his head in was the headline. The quiz is next.
The Sunday Rubs.
Oh, back to school.
Back to school quiz.
That's it, Mark Howe, with you, Wayne Schwoss, Jay Clark, Paul Roos and Wayne Carey. And I just think I heard you say, Duck, favourite part of my week.
Yep, looking forward to the quiz today.
The
I'm on.
Quiz, Richmond lead GWS by 7 points at halftime.
What's the current tally?
Okay, the current tally. And
has this been verified?
Well, it has, but current listeners would know that I often cock the mathematics side of it up. But Jay-Z is on 5.
You sure about that?
Yes. Duck's sure about on that? 4. Yeah. Schwatter is on 4. And I'm never coaching again, Roosie is on 2. So you need to lift, Rizzy, because I know your family take as a personal slight on this stuff.
Might have to ring Dave Matthews to get some advice.
Now he's starting to find a bit of form.
He's back.
All right, here we go. We'll start with nearest the pin. Everyone can have a crack. We're starting with maths, nearest the pin. How many Smiths, so how many players with surname Smith, are currently on AFL senior lists? Duck, Duck.
There are 8.
Duck thinks 8.
Swatter.
Yeah.
10.
10 for Swatter.
7.
7 for Roosie.
6.
6 for Jay-Z. George Hall and Smith is not included. There are 8. Duck is spot on. Brody, Archie, Josh, Zach, Devon, Isaac, Nick and Clay. History. How many games did Scott Cummings play for Collingwood after crossing over from West Coast? Ducked up.
30.
Swatter.
No.
19.
No.
Do you have to get exact or is this close
to the pin? Well, it's got to be nearest the pin because of the harbour.
12.
No.
35.
5. Ruzzi takes it there. And hello to Scotty, because I know he's a big listener and he's one of the great men. So Ruzzi is on 1 and Duck is on 1. Geography. Which Queensland AFL venue was formerly known as Bundaberg Rum Stadium?
Ruzzi.
Gazaley, Cairns.
Yeah, Ruzzi. Ruzzi is now to 2. Duck's on 1. And the other two are on bugger all. Yes. Okay, we go back to 2007. It is Collingwood playing the West Coast Eagles. We are in extra time. Guess the player.
Just keeps it going. Well played to Clark. Oh, this could be the ball game. Nobody is up ahead. The youngster goes in and kicks the goal. Collingwood looks like
Pendlebury. It is Pendlebury. Your mate,
Nobody
Pendlebury.
Nobody is up ahead. Pendlebury, the youngster, goes in and kicks the goal.
That was extra time, that one.
It was. That's what I said as I introduced the question. Sorry. Roosie 2, Duck 1, JZ 1, Schwaddy yet to score. Now, your Jock and Jorno, Jock and Jorno, very nice podcast you do with Scotty Pendlebury. How's his finger? When's he going to be back?
He's in a lot of pain. He reckons it's the most painful injury
so
he's had.
What did he do?
He took it, I've seen the x-ray, he's seriously got a chunk of bone out of his finger. So they put a screw in to get it back in alignment, and I think he spent 3 or 4 nights like not sleeping, basically. The pain was so intense. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get up and play this week, next week. If he does, it'd be an unbelievable effort. He'd need a near miracle to play next week.
Well, near miracle. English. Jay-Z, always very quick on the buzzer on these. Good. He needs to get himself involved. Spell.
JJ.
Okay. Oh, I'm just going to bang myself. All right, horse. Here we go. McDonald, Tip and Woody.
Ha ha.
M-C-D, yes. O-N-A-L-D,
yes.
Hyphen,
yes.
T-I-P,
yes.
U-N-G,
yes.
W-U-T-I.
Yeah, that deserves a round of applause.
Good
because there's not many others in the box, let's be honest.
What do you do during the week?
No. Well, I write those names a bit.
Write the quiz as well.
I guess if you're a writer, you should be
so
able to
spell. So what's the
score here? Jay-Z 2, Duck 1, Schwaddy yet to score, Roosie 2. We've still got 2 questions to go. During the week, who said this?
No real thought was ever put into moving to another club.
Ooh.
Bruce Roos.
Roosie.
Nate Fyfe.
Nate Fyfe it is. Roosie goes to 3. 1 in front of Jay-Z. So this could well decide it. Who am I? Duck, always your favourite. Yeah, Duck, you do rate yourself in the who am I. In fact, you rate yourself in a lot of things, but as well as who am I. I was born, Ducky boy, on the 3rd of April 1969. I am a 5-time All-Australian and 2-time Premiership player. I was born and bred in the West Australian country town of Wagan. I won the North...
Roosie.
Matera.
Which one?
Oh.
Duck.
JJ.
Hang on, Roosie.
Duck. Boom, boom. Hang How on. Long do you get?
Hang on.
Roosie, which Matera? 3.
The better one.
2.
No.
One. Who?
Peter Matera.
Who'd you say then?
Peter.
Yes, you're correct. Roosie.
How long did
well
he
done,
get?
Mate.
Well,
did
you go
Schwaddy, test your
button. Mate. Well
test
done, Roosie. I thought Schwaddy was out getting something to eat.
No, I just lost interest. But clearly there's a lot of collusion in this. And whatever...
Oh, I thought Matera. Hang on.
Yeah, but you can't even remember Peter Matera's name. And then you got Shock and the Jock over here. He's trying to train off and have a body off with Duck giving you the answer. Duck's beeping the buzzer.
I've been caned this morning rort. In the paper. Jay-Z's trying to give me a lift.
Yes.
He's trying to give me a lift. He's trying to help me. I've come in. I flip on the ground. I'm flat.
Anything else?
Oh, I'm shattered now on the quiz. The family are up and about at home.
Howie, test Schwatter's buzzer.
Yeah, no, is it? Was it working?
Yeah, piss off.
Last time we had the coach of the Swans on, boys, John Longmire, it was round 6. The Swans had just got beaten by Carlton. They were 0-6 at that point of the season.
And so, Howie, who was the only bloke that said they could still make it and win it?
Swatter. Who was it?
Me.
Oh, now just sort of taking the cream off the top. Well, this is what the coach had to say. Thank you, Duck.
Well, Swatter, the focus is always about the now and the future. No matter where you are in the ladder, you've got to be able to get that balance right. And you know, it's pretty difficult for us to say, oh, listen, we'll just play young kids because, you know, as I said before, we've played 13 since round one last year and no question we'll probably play one or two others before the end of this year. But we're giving those boys an opportunity anyway and trying to be competitive at the same time. Whether we're on top of the ladder or where we are now, that's what we need to do. And we'll continue to do that, keep strengthening up our list and getting experience into the players that we need to, but also at the same time trying to be competitive.
On that Sunday 3 months ago, they were on the bottom of the ladder. They were 0-6. Fast forward 3 months, they have won 9 of their last 10 games. The only loss, a very close one to Hawthorn, and the Sydney Swans remarkably sit 5th on the ladder. And the coach of the Swans joins us now. G'day, John.
Good afternoon, gents.
Hey, great to have you on, coach. When you listen to those statistics, it's been a magnificent 3 months for your footy club. Congratulations. And just how did you start to turn things around?
Well, it was a combination of a few things. It's never just the one thing, and I've probably been asked that a few times. It's a combination of a few things. We had some key players returning back, which made a big difference, and also some key players returning to form. Our leadership group in this period of time has been fantastic, and and really help drive the standards, and that makes such a difference when you're trying to crawl back from where we were at 0-6.
Horse, exceptional last night. I thought the team was outstanding. I guess one thing probably with your injuries, and you were really honest early in the season about the reasons, but is there one guy that perhaps you've got a better appreciation about now that was out in that period that you thought, well, he's a good player, but gee, we, now that you've seen them back and your best team, is there one player in particular that you felt you missed more than anyone else, or was more just the combination?
Oh, it was a combination, but I was pretty disappointed when Dane Rampey broke his arm. I knew that at that point, I remember talking to him after round one and in my office, and an hour and a half later, I was talking to the doctor saying he's just gone for a run and broken his arm. And it's fair to say, Ruzzi, I was a bit flat, especially when I found out how it happened. But, he's an important player for us. He can play on talls and smalls. But the combination of he and Heaney and a few others sort of added up to missing a few key players. But given that, we still win games, and we didn't finish off and play the sort of footy we wanted to as well. So we take responsibility for that as well.
Yeah, it's funny because he probably would have been the player that I picked, because he is so pivotal now, isn't he? Just his combination. The other guy that I reckon is probably not getting enough credit now too, Horse, that was there and abouts but was injured. I think Kieran Jack's nearly back to some of his best football, some of his two-way running last night. And I always probably rated Kieran as the best two-way running midfielder in the competition when he was at his best. And I think he's probably not quite at his best, but he's not far off it.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen him play that sort of footy, Ruzzi, when he's up and down the ground, and he's got a great combination of speed and endurance. And we thought last week his game against the Giants was of a pretty high standard, and just in that two-way sense, he was up and down the ground really well. His hips feeling a lot better and stronger compared to what it was in the first month, and those few weeks off that he had has really allowed him to strengthen it up. And he, along with Jared McVeigh, a couple of experienced players that we either had in the team injured or didn't have as in Macca, have made a difference to us, there's no doubt.
Hey, Horse, I want to go back to the six losses. It speaks volumes for your leadership group, the fact that, to keep that belief. Did you see any waning in their attitude during that time, or did they always have faith?
No waning in their attitude, Duck. I mean, they're a good group, really good group to work with. There's no doubt we're all sort of, concerned about where we're heading. We need to turn the ship around pretty quickly. And, whether you're a coach or part of the leadership group, we're all working closely together to try and get things going a bit better and a bit quicker than what we did. We took a bit longer than what we'd hoped. But since that moment, we've been able to get it back on track. And those leaders have been key parts, so there's no doubt they've really set the standard for us.
Hey, Horse, you've got a number of very good players, great players in your midfield. By the end of Gary Rowan's career, do you see him playing predominantly forward or a mixture of forward and mid?
He plays a bit more forward and back at times. We've put him behind the ball. He plays at half back. If we need that run and dash out of there, he can play on a tall across half back. But he's also, a couple of weeks ago, kicked five as a forward. And we've seen probably forward and back more than that mid. But knowing that he can still go through there for cameo roles and give us that real run, particularly in the bigger ground. So his flexibility is important to us, and particularly his ability to mark overhead.
Horse, just for the record, mate, when everyone else jumped off in the early part of the season, us here at Triple M, especially Ruzzi too, we never doubted you, Horse, just for the record.
No, that's all right. That's all right. We understood why it takes someone to jump off us. Don't worry about that.
On a serious front, we don't envy you from a selection committee perspective this weekend, because Cal Sinclair last night kicked five goals, had absolutely one out of the box, the big ruckman. And you got Kurt Tippett also kicking five, I think, and the Neefel as well, and maybe Sam Reed to come back. Is that right? And how are you going to manage that? Is there a place for Kurt Tippett in your side?
Yeah, look, I don't subscribe to the fact I get asked about, is he in your best team? I don't subscribe to that sort of question too much, but I don't fall into it, because it depends on who's in your best side at any given time, who you play. Last week, Callum Sinclair wasn't playing. All of a sudden, he comes in and plays well, and then you say, oh, then the question marks are on Kurt Tippett. So it changes from week to week, so we don't get too worried about that. What was good last night was Kurt played about 80 minutes of game time and kicked five goals and rucked as well and played really well. So, you know, that was a good sign for him. You know, we hope to continue to see him get back to that form that we know he can. He's one that played with injury early on in the year. He rolled his ankle in round two and kept playing, and we had to give him a rest as well. But he's got that fixed now, and he's come back into some strong form. So that's a good sign for him.
Hey, Horse, I know you only take it one week at a time, buddy, but looking at your draw, you've got some really tough games coming up in the last five rounds. Obviously, you've looked that far ahead. Would you prefer a tough run into the finals? Is that preferable?
Doesn't matter what I prefer, Duck. It's what it is.
No, it's what it is. But what do you reckon is the best preparation going into a finals campaign, having some of those really tough games with you know, the best teams in the comp right now?
Well, the real challenge is we've got to get there. We aren't there yet. And whilst our form over the 11-week period's been pretty solid, we've still got to get there. And as you said, which I completely agree with, we've got a really tough run. And it is what it is. So we've got to get there first, and you know, to play the Hawks on their home deck on a Friday night this week, and they're in really good form as well, is a good starting point. And I'm sure we'll continue to learn about us.
Horse, being in Melbourne, we probably interstate teams often have some underrated players. And even given the success of the Swans, Heath Grundy, I mean, his season so far, I guess, and I say in the twilight of his career, only given the age, I don't know how many years he's going to play, but he's just been so important to you throughout the whole course of the year.
Yeah, he has been. He's obviously started years ago. He really probably didn't, cement his position in the side for 5 years. He came off the rookie list. He's probably one of four or five rookie list players that we've got in our defence at the moment. Where they started their careers as rookies, to have four or five of those guys come on and be key members of your defence is a really good sign. And, he's probably been one of the leaders of that brigade down there because he's been so strong, and he's a good, really good contested mark. He's got great body work, and he's really composed, and he's probably played his best footy in the last two or three years. And that's a really good sign for a bloke who's 30 to be able to continue to keep on improving. We really look for that as well in our older blokes as well as our younger players.
Well, just on a lighter note, Horse, we've got the Howie Games, which is Howie's podcast. We've got, what's yours, Jay-Z?
Jock and Journo.
And Horse did a great interview with what's going to be a Raging Success podcast. Hasn't been released yet. And as part of that, the interviewer was kind enough to give Horse a hat. Horse told me the story, just giving away the interview. Well, Horse, you went to the States with your son. You walked into a store that had about 1,000 caps and not one fitted the big bonds?
Listen, mate, that was between you and I. And, I certainly know the trust in this world now. So I don't know, just scrub you off the list. But, fortunately, yours did fit me, which was a really good sign. It's the only one I can wear.
No, we appreciate it, Horse.
Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck next week. Massive game, you just said, against the Hawks.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Are you sort of plugging? You got a podcast on the way?
It's coming. It's coming.
What's it going to be called?
And I can't say it, but looking forward to it. Got some big names, people involved.
It has. People forget just how good a player Johnny Longmire was.
Did he kick 90-something at 19 or 20?
98 goals
at 19.
And missed 100 at Waverley Park.
He was great strength.
Kicked like 3-7 that day.
Super powerful, super quick off the mark. Really, really strong hands. He was a gun. He was an absolute gun.
Was he in the Kangaroos Team of the Century? Because just came up in the last ad break, the Kangaroos Team of the Century. Was Johnny Longmire in it or not?
No.
I'm not sure.
No.
And
no,
I presume you were on the wing swat of it, then your lip dropped and it got a little bit embarrassing.
No, it didn't, because Keith Gregg and Wayne Schimmelbusch, Brownlow medalist and arguably one of the great captains of North alongside of the King. No, it's a very hard team to get in, Howie.
It's at the Kangaroos, it's a pretty good team of the century.
Okay.
What it be.
It's a great team. It's a fantastic.
Have you looked
team.
At the team and thought there's any position you could have possibly slid in? Maybe
did you get on
the
bench? Why couldn't have got on the bench? Can you give me who the bench
Who's
players?
On the bench?
Roosie, you should worry yourself about bloody Dave Matthews, mate.
Who's on the bench, Doug?
I'm asking you. I thought you should have got in.
I just know who the skipper is.
It's not about me, but I tell you, when you rip two off the King when he's at the peak of his powers, no one in the history of game has done it. I made the emergency. Can you believe that?
Okay.
John Blakey get in?
Blakes is with me as an emergency player.
Emergency John Blakey. Wow.
I made the multicultural team of the century.
I'm just going to ask you directly once, straight to your face, is there any players in that team that you think you could replace? place.
Well, who's up next?
All right. That's a yes.
That is a yes. We might just drill down.
I'll give you the real answers in the break.
How many players do you think you are better than?
Handful.
MJ's just told me there's six on the bench and you still couldn't squeeze in there.
Hey, I didn't pick it.
Six on the bench?
Six on the bench.
They added two after it was selected about 4 years later. And you still didn't get a look in.
I can't believe that. It's a disgrace.
Wanted to wave. Some fool tried to hold me down. I got drunk and I ripped up the town. I'm a bad boy. A bad boy for love.
He's loving it.
Cause I'm a bad boy. A bad boy for love.
If anyone didn't think Paul Roos was genuine when he was saying he would never coach again, I think the fact that he's now singing on radio. Boys and girls out there, if you want him to coach your club, it's never going to happen. Nicely done, Roosie.
I told
the way
you, the only song
working.
That I know all
were
the
you,
words.
Were you involved in that that video that all the players...
No, I didn't do that.
We played a little bit of that on the Saturday rub yesterday.
No, I wasn't.
Actually.
I wasn't. What year was
Mickey
that?
Mickey Turner and all those guys.
I think it was Laurie Serafini. Laurie Serafini did it. I'm pretty sure Sarah did
You've
something.
You've got a... You can hold a tune there, Rizzy.
Half an hour until the Eagles take on the Pies under the roof at Eddie Had Stadium at Mark Howard with you. Wayne Schwash, Wayne Carey, Jay-Z and Johnny Cougar, Mellencamp Roos in the back row doing a very, very nice job. News, Jay-Z, a bit to get through and a couple of injuries from yesterday and a couple from the VFL as well.
Yeah, big one today and it involves Richmond big man Benny Griffiths. So we know he's been out for months, only played two senior games this season, but really struggled with those concussion setbacks, which has been bothering him for a few years. But he, in his second comeback game today in the VFL, he has hurt his shoulder. So he went off with trainers, and while Richmond has yet to assess the extent of the damage, fair to say it's not looking good for Benny Griffiths. So this could put a line through him throughout for the rest of the season. With Richmond beating GWS by 14 points at the moment, you think they're looking pretty good for finals. But I wonder, Roosie, and Kurt Tippett probably has become part of this conversation as well. The lack of a second big man. We've talked a lot about their small forward line, and you've been very positive on their finals prospects and the style of footy they're playing. But without Griffiths, that lack of a second big man, could that hold them back in September? Is that a question?
Yeah, look, he's the sort of player, and we're seeing him play well, 43-29. He is the sort of player. I think they do need Duck one extra tall up there, you know, and Benny Griffiths, whilst he's, look, whether he's the answer, because he's had a lot of injuries, and we've seen him maybe kick a bag of three and four every now and then, but you just feel, I love their game style. I've said it all year. I love their small forwards. But perhaps just that other one to clunk it when things get tight in finals, that's probably one thing they do lack.
Oh, look, in an ideal world, you'd love one. But if you haven't got it, you've got to, you know, deal with what you've got. And what they're doing is, you know, that speed that they've got up in that forward line now, that just adds a whole new dimension. It's just become so important. Unless you've got them. We saw the Bulldogs win a flag without, you know, absolute clunkers up there, although Boyd had a day out in the grand final. But no, I've been bullish about the Tigers.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is right. There's no good in plonking someone up
just for the sake of it.
No. It has to be the right player to be able to do it.
What about Kurt Tippett?
Well, Kurt's played some good football. I mean, you know, I think what John Longmire's saying is absolutely right. I don't subscribe either what the best 22. Your best 22 fluctuates. Your best 20. I mean, Goldstein's clearly in North Melbourne's best 22. He's playing the seconds. So I think if Tippett plays well enough and then Sinclair drops off or Reed gets injured or that drops off, I think he's in the picture. It's just the way he's playing. I don't think they've put a line through him at all.
No.
Because I think he can play AFL football. He's played some very, very good AFL football.
Going to play a role before the end of the year, I reckon.
From a Tigers fan's perspective, Duck, would he be worth trying to have a crack at?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Where is he?
Oh, look, how old is he? It's funny.
28-ish?
Not sure. I would like to analyse his form over the next 5 or 6 weeks to see, because 5 or 6 weeks can change a lot. Yeah, if he ends up having a role, as Duck said, to play, then what's that role, how well he plays, then that will determine the outcome of where he ends up next year, if at all he changes clubs.
Rainey at the MCG and the Tigers are just skipping away now. They've just kicked a goal. Looks like Caddy. So Richmond 49, GWS 29. So the Tigers now up by 20 points. 5 minutes to go in the third term. A couple of other injuries. A good news story coming out of the Melbourne VFL side, which was obviously Casey. Angus Brayshaw played yesterday.
Yeah, and he's got through unscathed. So clearly Melbourne just hoping he can get through this next block of footy, this next month of footy and VFL, and just seeing to get him some continuity. So I'm not sure he's in the finals frame just yet. Demons looking good for September, obviously, but I think they just want him to get a good block of footy under his belt. But great that he's been able to get through unscathed in the VFL. The other big one, we touched on this at the, off the top, is Lee Montagna. So hurt his hamstring. He'll have scans either this afternoon or tomorrow to assess the damage. Standard hamstring, 3 or 4 weeks out. This is what coach Alan Richardson had to say on his veteran after the match last night.
He's done his hammy, but so we'll just have to wait and see after scans to the extent of that. But clearly he couldn't come back on the ground. You know, he wasn't going to be able to contribute at all, so he sat it out.
Are you hopeful that he will play again?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, yeah. It's they're always a tricky one. You just got to wait and you know, and get all the evidence and do the scans. And yeah, you know, he's been in pretty good shape for us, so we'll just have to wait.
You would hope to see him back out on the AFL field, if not to say goodbye to Joey Montagna, then of course be part of a St Kilda finals push, and then potentially next year, depending on how his contract plays out. The other interesting one is Nick Riewoldt. Now, Alan Richardson went on to say in that press conference, boys, that he might miss the clash against Port Adelaide in Adelaide just as part of his ongoing management. Now, it's an interesting one from Nick Riewoldt's perspective, given that he's trying to play for a contract. Would he be wanting to play this sort of game, Roosie, or would he be sort of frustrated to miss out on this one, or just accept it as part of his
management
plan?
I think for St Kilda to make the decision, and even for Nick to be clear, you'd love to see Nick play really healthy the next 5 or 6 weeks, and I think that will give you a much better idea of whether he should go on next year, because I think I don't know if it's for a fact, but with McCartan out early in the year, I reckon Riewoldt played, because it's credit to him, I reckon Nick probably played when he shouldn't have, because he was, so I think it's time for St Kilda, and particularly for Nick, to say make sure he's healthy in the back end of the season.
The other big one is Dale Morris, boys. The veteran and beloved Dogs defender broke his arm, we believe, in two places yesterday in the win over Gold Coast. Now, this effectively rubs him out for the season. Maybe if Western Bulldogs were to make it to a prelim or a grand final, he might come into the selection frame, but it's a significant injury, and it's going to take some coming back from. Lastly, Max Gawn, he rolled his ankle, did quite well to play out the rest of the game. He came back on in the fourth quarter. He's a chance to miss next week. He'll have a light week on the track, and they'll assess him later on as the Tigers boys kick another goal. They're up by 26 points with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Toby Nankervis kicked the goal in the wet there. So this is a big win for Richmond.
Was it 20-2 at one stage?
Yeah, yeah.
It's about 53-9, I reckon.
It's going to be a good win. Tigers win this one.
Watching the Hawks last night, and an impressive performance for them in Alistair Clarkson's milestone 300th game. And I enjoyed a bit of spirit and a bit of fire. Sicily copped a ball in the face. He was remonstrating with an umpire and then started remonstrating with his teammates. Doc Duray as well. I enjoyed it.
Ooh, Doc Duray tried to calm him down, essentially. Focus, get your focus back on the game. But James Sicily won that happy, fired up at Doc Duray and told him to nick off, essentially. This was Alistair Clarkson's take on that incident after the match.
Yeah, I think Sis has got belted in the scone with the footy, and you know, he's a little bit away with the fairies for a time or two. But I think love the fact that one of our players was coming in to try to help him settle down and get composed and get back into the game again. So, I reckon that's really good leadership from Duray, and I love the passion of Sicily. So yeah, it's all fine.
Clarkson's reinventing that team very quickly. Sicily has gone back. We saw Jack Gunston play back last night, maybe 35 or 36 touches. He kicked a goal as well, Roosie, but he's changing that team around. And to go over to Freo and win by nearly 10 goals was a pretty good effort.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing now is, for 3 years they didn't really worry about contested ball, and Clarko was pretty strong on that. I think come the bye, we had Chip Frawley in here, and he talked about if you can't beat them, join them. So they're really a lot harder around the contest, and they're a lot quicker in the way they play. We heard that from Joel Selwood last week when he said it was a very different game against Hawthorn.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.